we had one more song. Well, no, it's a holiday weekend, so I'm glad you're here this morning, and I think you will be glad by the time the service is over. Just want to remind you, I wasn't even paying attention to the announcements, but did you say something about those sheets? Okay, so those sheets right here, these things right here, they're in the bulletin. Just try to say, you know, if you want to say something about New Life, we want that, something positive, put it in the basket up here, one of the offering plates, we'll make sure we get it. We only have like three or four, so we just need some. And also, just a plug in also, our pod, the Kingdom Faith podcast, the one that Phil Marlowe leads, and now with co-host, I guess, Phil Fisher, they are doing theirs. Now they are actually went full video. So I don't know if you've seen those or seen the first video. So it's good. They're picking up more listeners. And I feel totally confident with these guys. If there's anything they don't understand or whatever, they know they can come and talk with me about it. But pretty much I think they got this and just kind of staying mostly out of the way. And I think it's a good ministry. So we're reaching outside the walls of New Life, which is what we're supposed to be doing anyway. So, well, if you have your Bibles, I want to be in Romans chapter 16 this week. I've had plans to do this, these scriptures for a while, but there's always an appropriate time for different things, and God has a way, the Holy Spirit has a way of putting what He wants out in the front. But I want to ask you a question. What really makes a good church? What makes a good church? Well, we know that God is all good, and Christ is all good, and the Holy Spirit is all good, and they want the church to grow. They want the church to grow spiritually. They want the churches to be in the wheelhouse and do the will of the Lord and to follow those things and do it orderly and those things. With all those things already put in, and we know that God is good, what else, what makes a good church? Because God can do all that He wants and all those things, but there needs to be people. And the people is kind of what makes a good church. And we know without the Holy Spirit, let's not get too way out there, but without the Holy Spirit, it isn't even a church. Okay? Without God, there is no worship. Without Jesus, there is no saved in the house. Okay? So with all of that, we need to be reminded today that a good church is about the people. How many times you've been to a church where people were rude? Everybody, or I'll just say this, every church can be a little rude. And when one person does something, it people see it as you're speaking for the whole church, even though you're not. But guests see it that way. I believe Romans is probably the most, can be the most difficult for many to understand all what's going on in the book of Romans, Epistle of Romans. Some would even struggle saying Revelations. Most would say the Revelations are harder, but many people believe the Romans is more difficult. But I believe Romans is a letter that you go back and you read and you will wrestle with things. But it will draw you closer to the Lord and understanding that there is a desire to want to know God's word more. And when we have a desire to want to know God's word more, we will come to know Him more. And in that, He loves people. And He builds His church. And He does it with people. If you go back all the way to the beginning, you'll see that God loves to work with people. God loves to work with people. And here we're going to see something at the end of this letter that we don't see much in the other epistles. We might see a few names, but nothing like this. I believe there's like 35 names in here with a couple of titles of your mother and your sister. But 35 names. I tried to count these three times, but every time I go through there, my mind gets all crazy. But I believe there's 35. If you're one of those people that's got to check me, it's okay. But I believe there's 35. And I believe that Paul could have said more, but he chose these 35, and I'm going to butcher some of these names, but it's important that we read some of these names today because it is important. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this part of the epistle of Romans that we're about ready to read. Well, we know that we're going to mess up some of the names. I know I will. But Lord, it's not so much the name, but it's the name and what they did. I pray, Father, Lord, that we will learn from it today. And that we will grow from it today. Because there are no wasted words in your word. Even a chapter where it mentions names is important. And may we see that importance today. In Christ's name, amen. He begins off, he says in chapter 16, verse 1, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church of Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in the manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. This is a Gentile woman. This is a woman who kept her name. She didn't change it when she became a believer, but she kept her name. This is a woman that is the first person that Paul puts out there and says, this is the person I want to commend to you right now. That when this person comes in, that she may say, you need to receive her. You need to receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. I'm going to remind you that when a believer comes through the doors of the church or in your home, we need to be respectful. We need to honor them. We need to love them. We need to do that more. Because they are believers in Christ, or our brothers and sisters in Christ. This female did a lot. She did a lot of things with the business side, whatever all of that meant. But she is commended here as a great helper, not only to Paul, but also to others. This woman was a servant. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, which we read in some other scriptures. But greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Again, it's the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. We see some things here. Without even going into the other scriptures, what we see here is that they are fellow workers. They work beside them. They were not so high up that they couldn't put their hands to the plow, that they would work and they would serve. And they risked their own lives. That's huge. They risked their own lives. And even with persecution going around, they even had a church in their own house. When they were in, they were all in. They were servants. Their lives were at risk. And they still kept meeting in the home. Priscilla and Aquila mentioned because of the awesomeness of how they served the Lord. He says, greet my beloved Amphinous, who is the first fruits of Asia to Christ. Remembering that first one, that first convert, that first person coming to Christ in this area is mentioned. How many of you that have led people to Christ, remember the first person you led to Christ? You never forget. You never forget. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Let me just tell you, those who labor, people don't forget. The church does not forget. Greet Andrianikos and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who are also in Christ before me. There's a group of people here. Some of them are fellow prisoners. We see that. They're still with him. Verse 8, greet Amphilus, my beloved in the Lord. This is someone that he loved deeply, using that word beloved. And this is someone that is a deep love for him. You spend time with someone in serving, you can't help but to connect. Doesn't mean you have a favorite, it's just you connect. You bond. You have a bonding that goes on there. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stace. That's a good one. Stacy's, my beloved. Another one that's beloved. Mentioning these names who are fellow workers working alongside. Listen, churches don't grow just because God wants them. Churches grow because God wants it and people follow God. It's still all up to the Lord. But people's got to want it. And these people are lifted up. Now one day, I want to remind you, one day when we get on the other side of the, when we get into the heaven, we get into the realm, we get into God's world, and we leave this place, and we're united with all the brothers, we're going to know these people. Scripture's going to know them, and how we know them, we're going to know them. Greet Ampulus, approved in Christ. Greet those who are the household of Aristobulus. There's another couple of people. They're approved. There's a whole household. I think of that. I think of the word solid. Solid. Greet Aerodani. My countrymen. Greet those who are the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Once again, it's a group of people that continue to serve and group are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphiosa, who have labored in the Lord. Here it is. These guys labored in the Lord. They didn't serve, they labored. It means they worked hard. There was some sweat involved in it. Greet beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Now that we have one who labored much in the Lord. Let me tell you. What I know about them reading this over and over is you can't do this unless you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot serve like these individuals unless you love like Jesus Christ. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. So Paul is saying, greet Rufus. Once you greet Rufus, he's chosen in the Lord. There's something about this guy. It's just you just see it. He's just there. He's got it. God's got his hand on him. He's being chosen, but he also said, and his mother and mine. He's claiming Rufus' mother as his own. That's how tight these people were. This is not all of the same church. Don't miss that. They are not all of the same church. Paul was around all over the place. He has some more that he mentions right in there. But verse 17, he takes a break for a moment. In between some names, he says, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. There have been some through New Life that have come from the very beginning. I have not seen many in the last few years, but they would come in and one or two at a time. One is an individual or one is a, there's been some that come in as a couple, trying to cause division in this church. Some have told me that my wife was not a good pastor's wife, and some told me that I couldn't preach. Some told me that we would never make it. Others would grumble, gossip, and I would always pray, Lord, if it's true, show me how to work this out. But if it is not, remove them from the flock, because they will cause problems. And I thank the Lord that he removed them. Especially in the early years when I had no clue even how to tie my shoes as a pastor. Because doctrine, he says, contrary to the doctrine which you learned and avoid them. Because if you get up with them, yeah, we'd love them. But sometimes you have to love your brothers and sisters from a distance. Because when you get close to them, it doesn't work. You have to love them from a distance. Verse 18, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ. That's one thing I noticed. They were just like that. They wouldn't serve, but they sure didn't know how to talk and gossip and tear down instead of build up. But they did not know how to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But their own belly and by smooth words and flattering speech deceived the hearts of the simple. And I noticed that also. They always went to the simple people. It wasn't that they were bad people. They were just simple people. People that had would go more off of the maybe the emotions of things. wanting to be that whatever some people said, we can be gullible. Some of us here, honestly, we believe it. If we hear it, we believe it. We got to work on that. Everything you hear doesn't mean that it's true. Amen? That's why you have your Bibles. I shouldn't be the only one with a Bible this morning. Amen? And you got your Bible to make sure that I'm up with you and you're up together. That's right. He says, for your obedience has become known to all. He's talking. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And then he goes, and the Lord and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. There's the promise. Reminding, there's a promise. Knowing when we serve the Lord, we have an adversary that wants to keep continuing to fight us all the time. And sometimes the enemy, sometimes, honestly, let's think about it. There have been some times in our walk as a Christian that we sometimes had felt, even though we know it's not true, we felt sometimes Satan was stronger than God. And we, even though we believe that's not true, our mind played games. And we fought battles. This is a reminder, God's got this. And I love it because it doesn't make sense, but it makes sense for us who are believers. And the God of peace. How could the God of peace crush what is evil if he's a God of peace? Let's read that one more time before we move on. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. God knows what we go through. He knows those who are persecuted across this world. He knows those who are butchered, who are butchered through words, who tore down, who people give false testimony. He knows, but he also, God knows where it comes from. Our old adversary, Satan. It's just a reminder, God's going to take care of him. And one day he will crush him. And I am so thankful for that. I will give you a note. As a very, very young teenager, when I first got saved, I kind of had a thought about Satan. I thought, wow, I feel sorry for him. Maybe one day he might get saved. I don't know. I was maybe 13, just got saved, didn't know much about it. But as I got older, I began to learn. Wow, he stood before God. He saw God's face. He was in the presence of God. God gave him power. God created him. But he wanted to be God. He wanted to dethrone God. And then I began to read that he is accuser of the brethren. That he comes to steal, kill, and destroy those things that God is trying to create in man in a relationship. I do not feel sorry for him today. I love the words of God that the old enemy will be destroyed. He has caused a lot of men to fall sexually. He's caused a lot of women to fall sexually. He caused a lot of problems for the brethren. But praise be to God, Jesus forgives when we get our hearts right with him. Amen? Let's move on. And then he goes on and he says, Timothy, my fellow worker. Love that. Y'all know the 1st and 2nd Timothy. Timothy, my fellow worker. And Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater. My countrymen greet you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Now I want to remind you that Tertius is the one that actually penned it, but it come from Paul. Hope you know that. Just because you read this doesn't mean that Tertius wrote this. He wrote it physically, but it was with the Holy Spirit through Paul. Gaius, my host and the host of the whole church, greet you. Aretas, the treasurer of the city. I like that. The treasurer of the city. Somebody in the city was a part of this. Greet you. And Cordus, a brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What we see here is a great list of individuals that has been so huge for the church. These individuals, if you step back and you work in a church for so long, you look and you say, who is the ones that are helping out? You want to think that you want to see what they bring and you want to lift them up. I think that's what Paul was doing. It amazes me how many women are mentioned. And they're mentioned right there in the beginning. Phoebe had the biggest part. New Life has come a long way in 20 years. A long way. We have had our ups and downs. Amen. No matter how long you've been here, if you've been here 6 months, you're still part of us. But New Life is not more special than any other church. But there is something special about it. New Life is not man-built. I had no desire to return to Huntington. When I left another church, I had no desire whatsoever. Even though I had friends, I had no desire. But God seen differently. And New Life is not a birth of mine, but it is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. You're going to have to bear with me now for the next however long this is going to take. This is not something that I wanted to do over the 20-year celebration, which I do challenge you all to come and invite you all to come to the 20-year celebration. I'm pretty excited about all the things that are going to happen, but we do not have time to do all the things that I like, but I want to bring this morning. I told you that if you came today that you would receive a blessing, and I think the blessing will be right now. For those who have not, I pray that maybe they'll watch and they might get it. I want to go down what I feel is worth no mentioning. Ed and Tanya, your faithfulness has not gone unnoticed. Your faithfulness has been seen, and you teach biblical truths, Ed, and you keep doing that. Debbie, your openness to worship is a blessing to New Life. When you raise your hands, you are the one that is bold, and you're an encourager to others to raise their hands. Bob, you're all heart, man. You're all heart, and you wear your heart on your sleeve. You give and you overgive. And I love you for that. You're all heart. Deb Thorne, you're dependable. If there's a rule, you're going by it. You are dependable. I know that by the Lifehouse. And I love you for that. Alan, appreciate all your all-around faithfulness in all that you do. You take a week off for vacation for VBS. Who does that? But a person who is faithful. Savannah, you walked away from teaching in the profession for now. And you left a much better paying job to serve here. I can't say thank you enough. You've taken a lot off my plate. But thank you. Pam Smith, you make me feel like the best preacher in the world, even though I'm not. You're one of my greatest encouragers. Susan, all those meals you've cooked, when people didn't show up and they were supposed to volunteer, you were there. You were there all the time. Your service to God doesn't go unnoticed, even though it may go unnoticed here. Thank you for serving. Alex, I don't know where he's at. You're faithful, and when he does something, he wants to do it right, and he won't accept anything less. Mike and Joda, the vision trip of 2005, you're still with us. And I needed you back then to speak in front of the crowd. And the vision was so much bigger than us. And I don't believe that I could have pushed it without you there, you two there. Austin, all your labor across the board. Such a blessing, brother. All the houses. And I learned a lot about construction with him. Thank you. Phil and Pat Jones, you came to a church, excuse me for this, but much younger than yourself. And much different. But you have listening skills that I need to learn. I need to learn to be a better listener. I'm working on that. You have more patience with people than I have ever had. And thank you for that. Both of you for that. They sit patiently waiting. Scott, I don't know where he's at. New life started in Scott and Deb's house. And that I will always be thankful for. And Scott has been faithful. Scott is my old-time friend. He's a solid friend. Brittany Staten and all the nursery workers, you're making and you made nursery a great place for our little ones to go with a hunger for them to be there. Savannah and all the children's church teachers who faithfully serve the children of New Life. It always gives me a joy when they spring off the pews and they're ready to go because they're excited about what's going to happen in the next few minutes. I would only say this, ladies at the Lifehouse, keep doing the right thing, follow the program, because if your way was working, you wouldn't be here. Graduate. You should expect nothing less. If you do, you're only letting yourself down. Jerry and Diane, I thank you for your faithfulness and your always being there, always showing up, always being financially giving to our ministries and such. But more important than that, I thank you, Jerry, for your friendship. And I thank you for the Bible study that we've done over the years at your truck company with the employees who've all been to jail or prison. There's some kind of trouble with the law. We've done this for many years now, and now that you have retired, the new owner's doing it. But I'm thankful, Jerry, for all those times of being able to come in and see you there. I think that if the world can get a hold of that, I think the world would be a better place. Who pays workers to go to a Bible study? Well, I know who did. Jerry kept them on the clock, never clocked out. That's an extension of New Life Fellowship. And also probably watching is JR, his son, helping me get to know guys who didn't trust me that well. I'm appreciative of that, because sometimes it's hard for people who's been incarcerated or have that, hear preachers coming and they don't trust. I'm very much thankful for that. Chris and Brandy for working with the young adults over the past years. When we let it go, they picked it up. Thankful for that. All of you that volunteer in the meal ministry, without your volunteer, it wouldn't happen. We thank you for the meal ministry. Volunteers for sure. Eddie, one word, honesty. I get honesty when I talk to you. Thank you. Jeremy, I don't give things away too easily, but you stuck with me for over almost a year before I gave you my life recovery class. It was one of my go-tos. It was one of the things I loved a lot. But I needed to step away, and I gave it to you. And I thank you for your commitment and passion, and you study probably more than I did for it. And you even have more understanding of it than I did. Thank you for your passion that you bring to it. Phil Fisher, trusting in the Lord and the call of preaching, being patient through the process. Because patience is a gift, which I believe you have. Susan Mayhem stepping up and teaching at a women and children's house. When she lost her own daughter, she continued to do that, to work with other women. Brittany and Seth, for your faithfulness. And faithfulness sometimes is measured over years. And your faithfulness has been over years. And you show the church faithfulness, and we thank you for that. Angie, just jumping into our church family here, getting involved. Your church family now. Laura, taking a big step and becoming our night manager at the Women's Life House. We appreciate that. Ashley, your voice is a gift from the Lord. You bring a worship that we love. Your trust in me sometimes is too high, but I appreciate it. Bob and Rita, your family always brings a joy when you enter into the house of God. Always. Cassie, when you smile, I immediately smile. I don't know what it is, but you came through today, and you smiled at me, and I just smiled right back at you. I don't know. Maybe that's just part of what God has. You're just I don't know. But I love your smile. You make me smile. See, you just did it. Because you were smiling at me. Gloria, Brandy, and Billy, your love is felt here because you've been family for so long. And their love radiates off. My wife, Carla, your Sunday school teacher, a teacher, period, women's group leader, music leader, sound techs, nursery leader, pastor's wife, whatever else I made you into, even though it was hard. You served. And then I would yank it from you and break your heart every time to give it to someone else. And that was not to do it selfishly, but that was to do it to let room for someone else because I knew another gap would open and I needed someone that I knew that I could trust to fill it. You're more of a pastor's wife than you ever know. For all of you that give financially and beyond your gifts are a blessing. I want to thank you to the praise team, Ashley, the praise team that you bring. I know that it's solid, that it comes, and everybody, there is no mic hogging and no self-centeredness. You were 21 when you started, I believe, and I canned the whole thing, and people were angry at me, but I knew that a 40-year-old or a 50-year-old is not going to listen to a 21-year-old. So we took the hard road, and it paid off. I believe another church could scout you out and take you in a heartbeat, but I will fight for it. Don't happen. You do not know the gift you have. Connie, Colleen, and Lisa, they are fruit of our works and ministry. They're a true blessing to New Life. When they come, I always look. One comes, I look for the other. Because even though they may not be full family, all of them, they are bonded together. Like I wish more of us would be. Larry, your desire to grow in Jesus is a blessing. It should be contagious. Don't lose that. You always want. When you miss, you can't wait to come back. Barb, she's probably watching from home. We miss you today, Barb, knowing that you're not feeling the greatest, but your openness to worship. When your hands are held high praising Jesus, others follow. Pam Maxwell, you always sit toward the front. But when you move away, you moved away a few times, but you always find your way back. Which means you must have a home here. Whether you're here or in Florida, New Life is your home, your family. Rebecca, your service to the Women's Life House, continue to do that for your love for the women. Let Jesus continue to work with you, and there will be more doors will open for you. Kevin and Dave, they owned our first building that we worshiped in. We were looking for a place. And we had to go upstairs in the building. It had the softest carpet you would ever believe. You didn't jump too hard because you would bounce, because it was a, I don't know, aerobics room or something. Thank you for letting the little church that could barely pay a light bill use your building. It was the building with the yellow door. And I fell down those stairs. Phil Marlowe, for entrusting me as one of your mentors and as a pastor and to continue to help lead. Your patience with me is good. For leading the podcast and, most important, your desire for the Word of God. Even challenges me to be a better pastor. Do not lose that. Carl, your example shows how others that Jesus is the way. When you fight the fight in your life and you continue to let Jesus win, it's a light for others. Michelle and Justin, I always know this. If there's a work day, you're there. Doing things you may not know, but you are there and you show up. And I remember that. Brian and Kelly, we're so glad you made New Life your home. And you are now serving. Doug and Lori, Madison and Brett and Dawn, sometimes it's hard to make a family member your pastor. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Because it's always hard for that. Trinity, just because you're young don't mean I'll forget you. You're helping with the children's church is a good thing. But more important is you are a light for Jesus Christ. And I believe you want to let that light, and you're going to make mistakes because you're a teen, and you just, it's okay. You're letting good people speak into your life. And all the teens in your world are watching you. Keep being the light for Jesus, because we can't go to school. We've been there and done that. But I don't want to go back. But you are an extension and a light for young people. And even when they persecute you and put you down for Jesus, I'm going to remind you, you have a place to run to right here. Well, we will love you for keeping that light of Jesus in your life. Kyle and Ashley, you're my heart. I sent you away on a scary thing to go to one of our campuses. And then when that closed up, you came back. You're dedicated. And even when your heart hurts, you hold fast. You're my heart. Trevor and Tabitha, who I'm going to watch continue to grow, because I believe God is not done with you. I believe God is just getting started. Where are they at? God is just getting started with you. You better look out. I just sense that God is getting ready to do stuff with you all. But God has more for you than your future than you've ever had in your past. Just let Jesus be Jesus in your life. Keep staying faithful. God's going to use you. Amber, you're teaching in a world, in an area that's probably a little bit out of your realm at times, but keep doing it wherever she's at. Singing. Keep doing it. This is your church home. And keep praying. God will send you a man. A godly man. But I will tell you this morning. Without Jesus Christ, we would be nothing. Jesus has been faithful to New Life. And His faithfulness shines even when our faithfulness dims. His forgiveness has been huge here for us as a church, and also for us as individuals, because some of us have still done and still doing things. And we thank Him for His faithfulness and His forgiveness. God's blessings have been more than we've ever even asked for. His gifts are so awesome. His attendance in our worship service, He's always here. Even when he's quiet, he's always at work and he's always here. I'm thankful for the conviction that he has through the Holy Spirit, that he works on us here. The vision that God has for us, that he entrusted us who knew nothing. Who knew nothing, but give us a vision that is much bigger than ourselves, but not bigger than God. The male ministry, the women's life house with women and children's house, the men's life house, which is ready to go. All these other things that we got going on. I thank him for his answered prayer today. I thank him for helping us, with so many of us here have gone through the loss of loved ones. And we've learned how to worship God with a broken heart and how to console one another. Where we rejoice with those who have babies, rejoice with those who graduate and get married, but also we mourn with those who mourn. And I'm thankful for God for this congregation. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Paul says, I commend to you. And he begins to rip a list. Well, you've just heard my list. And every one of you are in it. And I thank God for every one of you. Because without you, there would be no new life. Do not abandon where God has put you. For you'll have to stand and give an account of that if you do. Continue to be faithful. Continue to be watchful. Continue to find places to serve. And when you need a break, take a break. It's okay. And when your break is done, get back in and serve. But be all that you can be through Jesus Christ, that you may be able to finish the race. And he would say, well done, good, faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful church. Father, as we get ready to close this service and move to the part of prayer, I thank you for this place. I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you, Lord, that I've not missed. I don't believe I missed one here that's here this morning. Thank you for working and giving me what I needed to say to each person today that's here and those that are not here. That your name may be glorified. Lord, in this time of response, I pray, Lord, that we know that we are important. Each and every one of us are in this church. That we might spend a moment to thank you for what you're doing in our life individually and also in our life as a church. Take this moment and move your spirit upon us in a way that only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.